The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have come to believe that I came from God. I came from the Father, and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. When Jesus speaks of leaving the world and entering more permanently the realm of God, we ought not to think again that he has departed, he's left us alone, that he is somewhere out there, far away, and has nothing to do with the world. And we know that. We know that because each and every one of us here is here because Jesus has breathed his life into us, most specifically in our baptism, where he gave life to us anew and entered and put us into that vital contact with the Trinity, that he made us sons and daughters in his own sonship, that we were inserted into the Trinity so that we could pray, right? That we could commune with God in a way that we could not before. I think it's important as we look at the ascension of Jesus into heaven, which, praise God, we celebrated this Thursday. Our diocese not transferred the feast to Sunday. That as we look at this feast of the Ascension, and especially the time between the Ascension and Pentecost, that we focus our efforts a little bit on prayer and what prayer is. Because here again we see Jesus saying that whatever you ask in the Father's name, I will give you. And of course, the one hinge to that actually happening is that what we ask for is, say, what God wants us to ask for. So we could say it's perhaps a little bit of circular reasoning, but God is allowed to do that, I suppose. It's not a bad argument. But then how is it that our wills can be conformed to God's? I think to begin with, when we come to pray, and this is one of the reasons why I find that posture of prostrating myself before God to be so important, because prostration is total submission, right? There are times even like I think it's not merely submission, but also vulnerability. So if you were to prostrate yourself in front of someone who is very powerful, that person can do whatever he or she wants to you. You're totally defenseless. Your eyes are on the ground, and they're standing above you. With God, because he is all-powerful, it takes on even further significance. It's an acknowledgement then, also, of my relative insignificance, how he has all the power, he has all the strength, and all the rest, and I have nothing, or pretty close to nothing, right? So it's that humility, in fact. And I think if we look at, say, the two postures of heart that we can have, humility and pride, humility it is that allows for true prayer, and pride it is that prevents it. So it's a posture of humility, right? This posture of prostration. I'm not telling you, by the way, that you have to prostrate, because I've had those conversations with people before, and I've heard that, you know, some people wouldn't be able to get off the ground and the rest. And so I don't want to come here tomorrow morning and see like 12 people lying on the ground. I have to go around picking people up every morning. Like, okay, we're getting there. So there's this sense, yeah, of humility, of vulnerability. This idea of handing myself over to God, right? So you get some sense of, trying to draw the picture for you, right? Get some sense of what this posture of heart is. Because it's not merely, the physical informs the spiritual, right? The physical informs the mental, like how I think of it, right? So the body, in that sense, and kneeling, right? This same kind of posture, But it's the posture of our hearts in prayer that's truly important. And so our physical posture can change, but our hearts ought to be so formed as to be saying all these things to God also, that I am relatively nothing, Lord, and you are everything. Now, I mean, that might sound miserable to some people. In fact, it's a very beautiful thing. Because in spite of my nothingness, God breathes his life into me. Right? In spite of that. And in fact, as a result of my admission that I am relatively nothing, I receive more. I receive more from him. I like about prostration that this is a sense like I'm dead. Okay, well, I like that. I don't know. It's not morbid, you know, but like I'm dead. Okay, look, Lord, I'm done. You know, I can't do it. And he knows that. He knows I can't do it. But he wants me to admit that because it helps the process, right? So I'm dead. I can't do it. And then as I really give that to him, right, in prayer, now he reanimates me. Yeah, now he breathes his life into me. Now he loves me into existence. Now I can stand up and I can go on. Right? So I can't take another step without you, Lord. And okay, I don't want you to, you know, like, so he gives himself to us that way too. Yeah, so this is how I think, this is, say, step one. I'm going to go to step two. I know, like, you think maybe that's tomorrow, but I'm going to, step one is this, humility, vulnerability, handing ourselves over like this, yeah? But when we do that, again, this is step two, we find actually, like, what our will is, because this is what's coming up, like, from the depths of our heart. And we're saying, well, this is what I care about, Lord. Yeah, so this is what I'm putting in your hands. It's not just me, but my heart. Like, what's in my heart? And I'm giving it to you. But that, it's that last part, right? That giving it to you. Because that's what we struggle with. So it comes up, yeah? And this is what's in my heart. And it's like, you know, the one fist, this is us, and the other fist, this is God. And it's just like this. Right? When our wills are not in line with God's will, I should say. And I think that happens with some of these deep stirrings of our hearts, like what we're holding most deeply. And I mean, look, I imagine it's our children and things that they're up to. You know what I mean? It's just the nature of the beast. And it's like this, yeah. So let me take that for example, and then I'll finish and we can get on with Mass, right? But we, like, the struggles that we have with people in our lives, or the things that, like, we really pray, prayers of petition for these people, which we should, because Jesus is sitting, right, on the throne of God, right? So we should, in fact, pray to him for these very things, because it's all in his power. But we sometimes have the experience that it's in ours, right? This is our control. And you can see even, like, the posture of your body, you know, you're hunched over, you're holding on to it. Right, this is yours. This is, you know, Lord, where are you? Right, where are you here? Why aren't you right? What? And we're coming forward to say, there needs to be more. Like, there's something has to happen here. Like, this person's in trouble. Whatever. Right, those kind of prayers. And we're bringing it to, this is the depths of our heart. This is our heart crying out to God. But there comes a time in there, I think, where we say, like, you know, God, you're not paying attention, right? There's some language, like whether it's our heart or our body, that gives it away, that there's some lack of trust perhaps there. And it's when we, in fact, entrust that petition, whatever it may be, to God, that our bodies and our hearts go from this kind of posture of grasping, gripping. It has a hold of us, but we're holding on to it too. To be able to step back and open our hands, open our hearts, and say, okay, I've given it over to God, the God who loves that person more than I could ever love that person. The God who loves that person so much that he's asked me to take up some part in their life, some small part in their lives, right? But that he's working on that person 24/7. We get to chip in a little bit here and there. But when we chip in, we want to do it right from that place of having given ourselves over to God, instead of this place of trying to hoard the task for myself. And at that point, you can see, right, that we go from this grinding of wills, really, with God, to this conformity of wills with God. That's where we're going to start to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, because we've handed ourselves over to God. He's given himself to us, and now we're living on his life, right? We're that vine planted that's growing on the nutrients of God's soil and not our own, right? Love, joy, and peace is ours in ways that we can't even imagine now if we but hand ourselves over to God, if we allow our wills to be brought into conformity with his, if we truly pray.